Irene Monroe is a syndicated queer religion columnist whose columns appear in 43 cities across the country and in the UK. She is also the 2012 recipient of the Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders Spirit of Justice Award. So we thought we'd get her spin on the aftermath of the election and our LGBT issues. Hi, Reverend Irene.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me on your show.
What was your reaction to President Obama being reelected and gay marriage passing in Washington, Maryland, and Maine?
Well, first of all, I was just quite elated to see Obama get a second term. To be quite honest, I said if he didn't, I need to think of where in Canada did I want to reside? Because there's just no way, after having lived under Romney as governor, that I could bear 4 years with him. So I'm just delighted. And I actually have to say, you know, what's very interesting, a lot of folks felt like, oh, this election of Barack Obama the first time was, oh, this is affirmative action kind of election, a symbolic election. That's what I would hear. And the wonderful thing is that the second term negates all that. And it really says to me that we're moving forward around race relations, that we are becoming, with a much younger generation, a multicultural society, that this younger generation is pushing those old attitudes of like someone like a Donald Trump to the side. And it says something, too, that it's a grassroots movement, because if Donald Trump or Romney could buy the election, we know that outcome. So it really shows the power of democracy, of our vote, and just where we're moving, we're crawling as a country. So I was just very, very pleased. And then, to be quite honest, you know, the passing of marriage equality as a ballot initiative, well, you know, I was just shocked beyond belief, because we all remember Proposition 8. But I have to say this, you know, I still contest that to frame our civil rights as a ballot question for a popular vote is still, in my opinion, both wrong and wrong-hearted. But the results this time just turned out to be favorable.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. It's totally wrong that the majority is still voting on the rights of a minority.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely.
What would you like to see happen for our LGBT community in the next 4 years?
Okay, well, there are a couple of things. One, certainly, Defense of Marriage Act. We have to do something about that. But I tell you what concerns me, not only about that, is when Obama sort of gave a full-throated support of same-gender marriage, I was a little disappointed that he kind of left it by state by state. You know, that really was problematic on many levels. So this is why DOMA is very important, that we must act aggressively in his second term on this issue. To have it state by state, it sort of reminds me of slavery. Unfortunately, you know, as an African American, in some states you were free and others you weren't. You know, so you have some states are legally married and others they're not. So we must address that.
The Defense of Marriage Act has been found unconstitutional in federal court a number of times. Do you think it will take the Supreme Court to finally provide federal rights and protections for legally married couples in this country?
I do. And I think that's the only way that that will happen. That's another reason, in my opinion, why the election or re-election of Obama is essential, because he pretty much will stock, I call it, the Supreme Court in a way that will bring more parity to LGBT couples. So it will become a Supreme Court issue, and I feel better about it because Obama is in the White House. What's your opinion on that?
Well, the thing that upsets me about it the most is that I think that if you live in a state where gay marriage is legal, you should get federal rights.
That's right. That's right.
And I don't understand what the delay is. I know that, you know, GLAAD is working very hard on this, and, you know, other organizations as well, the American Federation of Equal Rights out in California with their Prop 8 case. But it still boggles my mind that people have been legally married in Massachusetts. It's almost coming up on to 9 years, and still they don't have federal rights. And I just don't understand how they can get away with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I agree with you. And come tax time, it's a headache, really. The forms you fill out, you can fill out, we still pay more taxes.
Well, I don't understand why people haven't stopped paying taxes. You know, legally married gay couples should get together and stop paying taxes if this is going to continue.
Yeah. Well, that would be nice, but I worry that they'll come after me and my partner before they come after anybody else, so I don't know, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it would be wonderful if we did this in a block. We're still fighting. We still have a large population, not as many as before, but we still have a large population of folks who are definitely opposed to it. I come out of a community. You know, I'm still fighting this issue, and they've been a hindrance. In my communities, the African American religious community, they have been, for the most part, the majority of them have been an absolute hindrance to the progress of LGBT civil rights.
Well, what do you think it's going to take for the Afro-American religious community to realize that equality is equality and they should embrace our fight for civil rights as well?
Well, one of the things we need is that we need more churches, like, for instance, here in the South End, we have Union United Methodist Church, which is a predominantly African-American congregation, and it's in the epicenter, really, of our LGBT community in Greater Boston. And that church is a wonderful example of what happens in a wonderful way when you open your doors to the entire community. You know, one of the things that the black church talks about is that, you know, being gay brings about the demise, you know, of the black family. Well, the whole thing is that the black family is same-gendered couples. It's a grandma raising a grandson. It's certainly a male and female. We have always had alternative types of family as a form of liberation and struggle against, you know, discrimination in this country. We've had to do it as a form of survival. So, if anything, we have modeled alternative types of families. I don't know what the issue is other than the way in which we construct not only black identity, but also the way in which we narrowly, and I say we, I don't mean me, but narrowly have an understanding about civil rights, which is my rights, and unfortunately, nobody else's. And also, the interesting thing is, we look at race too narrowly so that we don't see how race intersects, you know, sexism and heterosexism and classism and other stuff, you know, anti-Semitism. So what happens is that if you're not talking a sort of mono dialogue about race, and I don't know how you do that, to be quite honest, but then you're not talking a black dialogue of liberation. I think one other example that would get African American religious community, you know, in our struggle for civil rights is really to get black mothers in our struggle. And what I mean by that is that if we address bullying and gang violence in the African American community, and we have black mothers sort of leading that fight, we have the backbone, really, of the community, as we've always had of the black church. But the one thing black mothers want, no matter if their child is straight or gay, is that they want their child safe. And so if we sort of can get black mothers and sort of desensitize or destigmatize homosexuality in our community, we can, and do it by way of mothers, we can then get these mothers to go into these churches and get their pastors to stop spewing that vitriol from the pulpit. And I think that once we get black mothers on board with this, we will see a definite shift, a needed shift, in the black church and hence also in the black community.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
My personal commitment to LGBT civil rights really begins with me. It's sort of like, how do I, with my multiple identities, you know, African-American, lesbian, religious on a good day, how do I live those intersections with integrity? And so one of the things I found out with getting involved with these various organizations at the beginning, and they've changed enormously, I must say, from where they've started, where I've started with them, is they look at these issues in a much more integrated way, which is one of the reasons I think GLAAD gave me the Spirit of Justice Award, is to sort of shed light on the many intersections of oppression. And how do we do that with not only with integrity, but bring a lot more people in our struggle, which we'd be much better, you know, off in doing. And so I felt like with GLAAD, for instance, bringing how do you reach out to the African-American community in a way that not only speaks about their particular needs, but also speaks to their particular cultural way of expressing or want to be addressed around issues that not only impacts them, but also impacts the LGBT community. Too often, as you know, the black community has felt like they've been pimped. That's the terminology that they've used by the LGBT community. So it's been ways of how to make those connections.
You're recently honored by the Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders with the Spirit of Justice Award. Tell us about that.
GLAAD created the Spirit of Justice Award to recognize individuals whose work and achievements reflect their ideal of a just society. I think that's the best way I can describe it. And I was really surprised because GLAAD and I, for a good while, had been fighting with each other. In February of 2005, I was reporting about the tension here in Massachusetts and that it was mounting once again, and unfortunately along the color line in our LGBT communities over the issue of marriage equality. And so you had many folks in the African-American queer communities and organization felt like they had been absent from the framing of that argument. And it was important now, how do we begin to include people of color around marriage equality that their families too are honored and reflected. And so that started an ongoing kind of debate, and having a column in the newspaper in many ways served as a bully pulpit, being able to sort of pick up and relay the various voices coming out of the African-American community concerning this issue. And I have to say here, to GLAAD's credit, they addressed the issue.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, yet numerous teens continue to take their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
Okay, there are two things here. I mean, one is certainly individual advice, but also we got to make sure that there are things in place for these kids. So, for instance, you're being bullied, you know, where are you being bullied? Are you being bullied at school? Are you being bullied in church? Because that happens when you have a homophobe in the pulpit spewing all kinds of statements about LGBT people being, you know, an abomination and damned to hell. And so one of the things is there's a systemic change that we have to certainly work at. We see now a lot of schools addressing this issue, some churches, and the home has to also address these issues too. It's, you know, unfortunately a lot of times an LGBTQ kid can come home to their parent and say, I'm being bullied. And I know of one particular incident where the father said, good, maybe that'll man you up. So you'll hope that these institutions, first of all, will help the child address the issue. And if not, then you hope various social services in the community will certainly help kids. For instance, there is a homeless shelter in New York, the Allie Fournier Center, which a lot of those kids are bullied and thrown out of their homes. They have a place to go. You can't always fight this unfortunate act by yourself. A lot of times you need the support not only of friends and loved ones, but of an organization. And thank goodness we have a number of LGBT organizations that will help an individual, as well as families, dealing with this issue.
How can people get information about your work?
Well, one way, certainly go to my website, and that's Irene Monroe, spelled M-O-N-R-O-E, .com, or just put my name in a Google search, and it'll certainly take you to my website, or listen to your show.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
There's a little prayer that I say, especially if I'm feeling very sort of on an island by myself and I'm struggling with something. And it goes like this. It's the unity prayer. I think a lot of folks may know this prayer. It says, the light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is. And it's for some reason, through all these years, when I've been in the depths of